Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Patriots training camp, it is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It is day 7. Pads are on out here. Is that right, Keefe? What are we seeing? We see shoulder pads.
No pants, though. It looks like just helmet and shoulder pads.
So just helmet and shoulder pads
out here
today. In fact,
Jones, look at this. Better late than never.
You got the Binox?
I got Binox today.
Nice.
I got brand new Binox. So if you want somebody that's got everything for you, it's me.
Eagle-eyed.
Oh, yeah.
Locked in. You just heard the horn. Signed the start of practice out here. Some interesting stuff from Vrabel. We're brought to you, by the way, by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlandEnergy.com. We're all parked here today, Keith. It took us both a while to find parking.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic not great coming down.
No, it's slammed out there. Why are there so many people?
I don't know. But let me tell you, it's a good turnout here today compared to yesterday, despite another hot one for the Pats. A few takeaways from Mike Vrabel. He started off by saying there will be no Christian Gonzalez for the rest of the week. Not a shock. Today looks like a lighter practice than yesterday. Tomorrow's scheduled to be a walkthrough. I believe Friday night they're practicing in the stadium for season ticket holders.
Yep.
So I think it's not a shock you won't see him for the rest of the week, but Vrabel did confirm that today. He said they have a plan for guys like Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, even Harold Landry, guys who they're going to manage. So he seems to be indicating anyway that they're managing Carlton Davis more than anything else, which I would say is a positive update there. He also was asked, and he was busting balls there with Mike Giardi a little bit, about the quarterback run plays, Keefe, which we saw some of yesterday.
I'm pro.
He didn't want them running, or reporting, rather, on running plays at practice. But he did say that's something players need to be smart about. I'll summarize here. You don't want Drake May running everybody over.
Of course.
You got to utilize the rules and give yourself up on some of these plays. But he did say, like, that's something that it's critical that it's going to be available to us, the quarterback runs. And I thought that was one of the more promising things we saw at practice yesterday.
Yeah, because you're wondering if the offense it's going to be the same, and some of the like verbiage is going to be the same. It's got to look different, though, than the last time we saw it with Josh McDaniels. And even though he got a successful year out of Mac Jones and they scored some points, all right, how sustainable is that? Clearly, once McDaniels left, Mac Jones turns into a pumpkin. And so they're very different type of quarterbacks, though. And so if this offense is going to take a step forward, if Drake May specifically is going to take a step forward, I would think he is going to have to run. We went over the quarterbacks before, like the top rushing quarterbacks from a year ago. All those guys had massive seasons. All those guys' teams did really well, right? With the exception of like Kyler Murray, running quarterbacks actually have a ton of success.
I thought when you did it by rushing attempts, not necessarily yards, but when you did it by rushing attempts, I thought the top five in rush attempts for quarterbacks all were in the playoffs.
Yep.
You had the Super Bowl winner in Jalen Hurts. You had two other guys
top two MVP
in conference
candidates.
Championship games. Right. Like, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels were in the NFC Championship game. Then, so you're the two best rushing quarterbacks in the NFC, and then the two of the best in the AFC were 1-2 in the MVP. And so, but it's not just, hey, you got to make your quarterback run. Drake May can do that. So, like, let's see Drake May do it. He was successful doing it in college. We saw him even last year do it. And there is a fine line. Like, I think people sometimes get caught up in, like, oh, running quarterback? Like, what do you want him to, like, run in the option? Or like, no. Or, like, tuck it and run nonstop? No. Nobody's asking for 20 carries a game or even 10 carries a game. But it's got to be used in a manner where, all right, picking up first downs, keeping the defense guessing, that kind of thing. Run smart. Still look to pass. It's one thing that I think you can tell when people don't watch Lamar Jackson play,
right,
and they just see the stats.
Oh, he's just a runner.
It's like, all right, how does he throw for 40-plus touchdowns then? You know, how does he finally – they had a wide receiver in the Pro Bowl last year, for God's sake. So it wasn't just Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They would throw the ball quite a bit. And he looks to the second, third read. That's something that I'm sure McDaniels is preaching too with Drake May. He's like, all right, on this play, if the first guy isn't there, it doesn't mean you tuck it and run. But also – you know, you're athletic enough where you don't need to take sacks or throw it away as much either, right? You have that athletic ability to get out and run. And so if this offense is going to be the best version that it can be based on the personnel. I'm guessing Drake May is rushing for close to 600 yards, you know, maybe even more.
So you mentioned Lamar Jackson, and look, completion percentage isn't everything, but for his career, Lamar Jackson's now at 65%. He was almost 67%.
And that's probably gone up, right, over the last few years.
He was almost 67% each of the last 2 years, 67.2, 66.7. So he really was at 67% the last 2 years. And I agree with you. You watch Lamar Jackson, you watch Josh Allen. Maybe Hurts isn't as good at this as those other two, but it's go to your first read, go to your second read, go to your third read. If that's not there, then maybe you scramble.
Yeah,
and you have design run plays mixed in there as well. I was reading Phil Perry yesterday, his Drake May recap. He does a daily recap of May. Curran does a daily recap of the receivers. They're pretty good. And he said, and I didn't realize this, I knew May had a good running year. May had the best yards per attempt of any quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah.
7.8. That was better than Lamar. It was better than Kyler Murray. It was better than Jaden Daniels.
During Keith's Keys, I think we were talking about it was like one of the best in like league history, wasn't it? It was
why
like,
wouldn't you use that?
I don't know.
I don't get why.
I don't know.
I get not wanting to be a guy who goes to his first read, it's not there, they take off. I completely get that.
Yeah, right. That there's a ceiling to that type of quarterback, right? But this what we're talking about is different. And also another wrinkle, too, and we saw some of it down here when they were running plays from the five-yard line, goal line stuff. We've seen different versions of this Patriots offense over recent years. Some have been atrocious in goal line situations. Some have been a little bit better. But that's just another weapon. Like, if the Buffalo Bills...
It's a good threat down there.
They have Josh Allen, right? So it's like, all right, you could also hand it to James Cook. Maybe, you know, we'll see. One thing to look for, too, is, you know, Hunter Henry had a decent touchdown season under Josh McDaniels, right? So you wonder if Hunter Henry will be more of a target. Because there's been some years it feels like they go away from him in the red zone. Other years, he becomes, like, a priority. But just another wrinkle, whether it's Ramondre Stevenson, assuming he's holding on to the ball, or it's a tight end, or Drake May, like that just makes your offense that much more dynamic in the red zone.
So you can discuss your thoughts on Drake May running this season. We saw some of that at training camp yesterday, as we told you, on day six. Day seven here today with a walkthrough scheduled for tomorrow. We'll see what the Patriots actually do on the field as it is underway here live from Gillette Stadium, brought to you by McFarland Energy. It's a short program today. Red Sox are in Minnesota. We'll have some Sox talk coming up on the show, but pregame begins at 12:10. First pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on your flagship station for the Red Sox, WEEI. We got Would You Rathers on a Wednesday, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. Still a lot of activity on those Sandler tiers yesterday, Keith.
Many people
are saying perfect tiers.
Yeah, that's true.
We love your tiers.
A lot of perfect tiers.
Couldn't have possibly done better.
Your tiers moved me to tears, I saw many times, people were saying.
So you can find those there at Jones and Keith. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. You can do the same. Watch and chat at YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
You know who I spotted as well with the binocs?
Oh, who's that?
Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla.
Oh, he's here. Vrabel was talking
Celtics
about
head
him.
Coach Joe Mazzulla, I got eyes on him right now.
He's here with his son.
Terp's going to pop down there, probably leave us, go get a one-on-one with
well,
him.
Well, no. I think Terp has his eyes on somebody else who's present here today, not Joe Mazzulla. I think he has eyes on another individual.
That could be true.
Who used to work in the market.
Hey.
We'll get to your feedback coming up. We got some thoughts on the Patriots rookie class. Good day for the rookies yesterday, especially those on the O-line. That's right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought Jared Wilson had an outstanding day. And actually, to me, the most interesting thing that we saw today is it looked like, and it wasn't steadfast, but it looked like today was the first day where the Patriots decided, hey, let's give it a look, see what it looks like with our two rookies on the left side of the line together. So you had Will Campbell and Jared Wilson basically at the starters at those positions. Jared Wilson did, you know, rep at center and continue to do that. You wonder how much, if Bradbury's down, does that now end the experiment of Jared Wilson? I mean, I'll just say this. I think through this part of camp already, I think it's pretty clear to me that Jared Wilson is an NFL starter. Now the Patriots just have to figure out what's best.
That was Greg Bedard recapping day six yesterday. Pats had their second consecutive padded practice. Today, shorts and shells, going through some stretching right now. In front of us at Gillette Stadium, Jones and Keefe live in Foxborough, presented by McFarland Energy. Interesting update to that, Keefe. Bedard pretty bullish on Jared Wilson, his day yesterday. We told you a lot about that as it was unfolding yesterday. Will Campbell had a good bounce back day after his first day in pads on, what was that, Monday as well. There is no Garrett Bradbury today. He left early yesterday. He is not out there today. He's in a group with Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, absent again. Harold Landry, who Vrabel told us is going to get the day off. Tavai, Farmer, Durant, Travion Williams, and your guy, Demir Blankensee.
What?
Those guys aren't out there today.
All right.
But no Bradbury. It's Ben Brown at center, and it's Jared Wilson at left guard, which to me lets you know, not only did he pass by guys like Cole Strange and Caden Wallace, who's working more at guard in this camp than a year ago where he was a tackle, without your starting center, quote-unquote, Garrett Bradbury here today, it tells me they're looking at him at guard.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It seems like the draft class has a chance to be even better than we thought, and it went in with pretty high expectations, and we keep focusing on the first three picks. Might be more than that. I mean, if they end up with two starting offensive linemen.
As Bedard said, both on the left side, too. If you get Campbell and Wilson, your left tackle, your left guard, on the first 2 days of the draft, it is pretty. I mean, we're a long ways from knowing
sure.
if that's what it's going to be, but if that's what it is,
but
that would be great.
It is trending towards, obviously it's early, but it's trending towards those two guys being more impactful than even Henderson and Williams as of right now, right? Like, Williams has had his ups and downs, but you do have Diggs, you do have Pop Douglas, you do have Kayshon Booty, so it seems like three guys might be ahead of him as far as the depth chart and as far as just opportunities on the field are concerned. And then running backs, it's been kind of hard for me to tell, but I feel like Ramondre is leading all the drills. You still have Gibson, so Henderson, you know, there's been praise for Henderson. Obviously, he comes out of college as a really good pass blocker, which will get him on the field sooner rather than later. But that's kind of a crowded backfield. And so if you're looking for immediate impact, it might come more from the offensive lineman.
No, I think that's fair. You know, Henderson right now, I mean, he's mixing in with the first team, but you're right. He's behind Ramondre Stevenson. He's behind Gibson when we see a lot of these drills. He's actually out here with Gibson returning kicks right there, or the up man returning kicks with Gibson. Kyle Williams feels like he is fourth-ish on the depth chart. It's probably him or Kendrick Bourne right now. He feels a touch behind Kayshon Booty, never mind Pop Douglas and Steph Diggs at the top of the depth chart, and that's before Mac Hollins is out there. He's another guy missing today, still on PUP. So that's probably the right way to say it. Like, the guys who are going to make the biggest impact the quickest, at least on offense, maybe Woodson, the eraser, mixes in on defense.
Yeah, that's another one. Maybe your kicker. Hopefully your kicker.
Hopefully your kicker, though the reports
on him. I was locked in on that earlier, too.
Haven't been good. He's 6-for-6 yesterday, but everybody's like, yeah, they weren't close kicks. I wasn't super locked in on that, to be honest.
It was a shaky 6-for-6, many were calling it.
Yes.
Which I guess, you know, it's a results business, Jones. If he's making his kicks, he's making his kicks. But I guess it wasn't with a lot of confidence. But, yeah, these two guys have been going back and forth. But, yeah, the rookie class, I mean, they needed help on the offensive line, clearly, desperately. And what's funny is, what was the guy's name? Was it Jonah Williams? The reports were in the second round, instead of Henderson, they really wanted another guard.
Oh, no. Not Jonah. No. The guy who Miami drafted.
Yeah, what the hell is his
name? I don't
remember.
The
doesn't
guy
matter.
He went pick 37.
Yeah, but he was a guard. So they wanted another guard after taking Campbell, and they may have gotten it in Wilson a few rounds later. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see. He's trending in the right direction.
Well, I think he's going to be one of your five on the O-line. I mean, the way things are trending now, and again, it can all change.
Yeah.
Like, day one, Will Campbell didn't look great. We told you. Day two, he looked better, so we're just kind of reacting to that. I think he's one of your five. I think the way they're utilizing him, that's pretty clear. But without Bradbury today, him lining up at left guard and Ben Brown getting reps at center, who got a lot of reps at center last year for this team, not good ones, I would say that's telling you they're looking at him as their left guard. And that would be my takeaway early on.
Who do you think's
today.
The leader for center?
I think it's probably Bradbury.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, we started the show with Mike Vrabel's media availability, and he does seem to talk about the veteran guys, kind of lumps the veteran guys together, and some are just not out there in cases, or some are getting shut down a little bit. So between Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, Garrett Bradbury, I don't know. He didn't seem overly concerned, did he? He was just sort of like, hey, we got a plan, you know, for all these guys. Meanwhile, we're up here. We're like, ah, where's Davis? How come he's not out there? Morgan Moses is leaving. Is he not the right tackle?
Because
Karin made me feel a little bit better yesterday when I was like, is there a chance that Moses isn't the guy? He's like, no, Moses is the guy. It's, you know, whether he's still good or not and remains healthy, but he's like, there's no doubt in Curran's mind
he'll be the right tackle.
Week one, Moses right tackle.
I feel a little better after listening to Vrabel today about Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds more like management than anything. Gonzalez, we keep hearing, Curran said it yesterday, day-to-day. Garigian reported the same thing. She said day-to-day, so that feels like that's coming out from the team, that Gonzalez should be back sooner rather than later. Curran even said maybe for joint practices next week,
mm-hmm.
which I think would be tremendous news if he's back out there for that. So, no, I largely feel better about the injury situation. We'll monitor it with Bradbury and certainly how they're sort of managing Morgan Moses on a pitch count there on the right side. You mentioned the other rookies, though. Kyle Williams, Phil Perry also does a stock up, stock down every day. On NBC Sports Boston, one of his downs yesterday was Kyle Williams, who he said was on the receiving end of one of the prettiest passes all day. Drake May lofted a touchdown pass down the right sideline to Williams that was perfectly dropped in the bucket. He said prior to that, and we talked about these reps in real time when they happen, Williams dropped a back shoulder pass from May that hit him in the hands, and he's had occasional drop issues at Washington State as a collegian, and he's had multiple passes go through his hands at this point in camp. He had a great day one.
Yeah.
Since then, I feel like largely when you notice him, it is for something like that. A drop pass, or there was one throw in the right corner yesterday that I thought May missed him on. I would put that more on May than on him. But it hasn't looked like that after a strong showing on day one where he's making catches on the sideline on Christian Gonzalez.
I mean, after day one, we were talking about it might be a Diggs-Williams
yeah.
1-2 punch.
That hasn't, that hasn't really looked super locked in between he and May.
No, unfortunately not. Now, he does have game-changing speed, so you wonder if are there certain packages that McDaniels will feel comfortable using him, and maybe he's like a big play guy. It doesn't feel like he's going to be a guy that's getting a bunch of snaps necessarily, but there's a long way to go. There's the joint practices. There's three preseason games where I assume Diggs plays little to none. Matt Collins is going to play little to none. You know, so that might be an opportunity for Kyle Williams to kind of shine a little bit, because you can't be the guy that drops passes when you don't even get that many thrown your way, right? Like, it's going to be just fewer and fewer. But he does have a skill set that I don't know if anybody else on the team has. So, you know, that combined with being the third-round pick. Like, he's for sure on the team. It's just a matter of, all right, how much are we going to see him on the field?
617-779-7937. Good day for the rookies yesterday. Offensive line coming around the last couple of days, it felt like, in full pads. Lighter practice today. We'll see how much we can read into it. Walkthrough scheduled for tomorrow. And then they're in the stadium on Friday night for season ticket holders, another walkthrough type of environment. So should be a lighter couple of days here for the Patriots. Jones and Keefe taking it all in live at Gillette, brought to you by McFarland Energy. Come back to your phone calls on this. We'll also get to the Boston Red Sox. The warning signs, Keefe, or the signs anyway, are that this deadline could be a bit of a letdown. We're getting closer and closer.
Getting too close.
I mean, what time is the deadline tomorrow? I should know this.
I've heard mixed things.
We're a little over 24 hours away. It's 6?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
5 or 6.
You know what? That means Breslau has more time than I thought.
It should be like 2 or 3.
That's what I would think. But
okay, 6 o'clock.
Okay, good. Off day tomorrow. Breslau's got until, you got until 6, Craig.
I'll tell you, if the afternoon show gets to play the sounder throughout the show, I'm going to be pissed. If we don't get to play the trade sounder at all and they save all the trades till after 2.
I think we're going to be able to play
we'll
the
get
trade sounder. Well, yeah, we have a full trade deadline program tomorrow.
I don't know if you want. Yeah. Okay. You think trades tomorrow? Are you predicting a trade tomorrow?
A good
Red
one
Sox
or a trade?
How about this? Let me ask you two questions.
Don't make a trade. Will they make a good one? I'm starting to doubt that.
Do you expect a Major League Baseball trade between 10 and 2 tomorrow?
Yes.
No.
Do you expect a Red... Wait, what? What did you say?
That was...
Do you expect a Red Sox trade between 10 and 2 tomorrow?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I expect both.
That's very optimistic.
Now, I don't know if I expect, again, what we would consider a worthwhile Red Sox. I mean, Breslau made a lot of trades last year.
A trade is a trade.
Were any of them good?
Cue the sounder.
Yeah.
Nick, you don't have to play it, but do you have the sounder ready?
Sure.
Just in case.
Sure.
Just in case. All right. I just wanted to make sure that you have it because you never know. Trades could happen today, for God's sakes.
I mean, Nick, Keith is locked in. He's got his binoculars.
I got my binoculars. This is my best day yet.
Keith is as locked in as could be. What do you mean, sure?
I saw Mike Vrabel coaching up Milton Williams and Christian Barmore one-on-one. I saw that.
Nice.
He's pulling some of the defensive linemen, doing some individual work with them.
How about that?
Mike Vrabel, very hands-on coach. I'm liking what I'm seeing from here.
It's a whole new experience with binocs.
It's just completely different. It's like my first practice.
Okay.
This is incredible. I can actually see the numbers now. I know who's out there.
We'll see what else.
What a thrill.
Keith can glean and pass along through the binocs. Will the Red Sox trade deadline be a letdown? Certainly feels that way.
Yeah.
We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a big believer that, you know, around this time, you know what you need to do to get better, right? And like I said, we're not a perfect team. So, we'll see what the upcoming days have to bring, you know. And at the same time, it is a different group compared to the last few years. There's not a lot of veteran guys, you know. There's a lot of kids that are playing here that are playing to establish themselves in the big leagues. And I hope they cancel the noise, right? And they just keep playing. So.
Asking Nick, Ospreay, I think, in Xfinity Center tonight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, how about that?
That'd be a nice show.
I was like, hey, good rejoin, Nick. I was like, Ospreay's here? He's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, they're right
up the road tonight.
Just in our rotation.
He's kind of snuck up on me.
Ospreay, good.
Cat went to Goo Goo Dolls last night.
Well, not as good.
Not as big of a fan?
Goo Goo Dolls? No.
That sounds great.
Dude, that sounds horrible.
Who'd they play with?
Ooh, dashboard open. Honestly kind of wanted to go there and feel my feelings.
Just an acoustic and emotions got out of here.
I kind of wanted to go feel my feelings at dashboard.
Dude, Goo Goo Dolls had that one song from the City of Angels soundtrack. One of the worst movies ever.
Yeah, Iris, bro.
Iris.
Yeah.
They'd play that on TRL.
They had that one song? What are you talking about? Goo Goo Dolls had the one song?
Maybe two.
Name?
They didn't have
Slide.
Long Way Down.
Long Way Down.
They had too many, I guess.
Only one.
Mount Rushmore, Goo Goo Dolls.
What a sad.
I think we just Mount Rushmore them. I think that was it.
Do you know what the original name of their band was?
A Boy Named Goo. Mookie Blaylock.
Okay, how about this one? Did you know the song name?
You don't want to answer this one, Bill?
No. I don't want to say because I was going to forget it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill. You
whose question am I answering?
I'll remember mine.
Yeah. The song name, right? Their first hit. Do you know who it was about?
Oh, it's about someone.
Wait, Iris?
No,
name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Name. Who name's about?
Right.
Oh. Is it an actress?
It's a female. Yep.
Is it a musician or an actress?
She worked in music. She now works in politics.
Oh my God! Hillary Clinton.
So do you remember? You remember Kennedy?
Hill Dog.
Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy.
It's about Kennedy from MTV.
Wow.
She now does political stuff.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice.
The original band name for Goo Goo Dolls was Sex Maggot.
Sex Maggot. Okay.
They changed it to Goo Goo Dolls. It didn't really fit the sound of the band.
No,
much, much lamer.
You didn't like the Goo Goo Dolls, a sick brag there.
No, okay. I didn't like Goo Goo Dolls at all.
All right, well, I guess I'll strike that from the record, I guess.
Noted.
Don't want to listen to them in my car.
By the way, before we get to Cora, some interesting comments yesterday on WEEI Afternoons.
Yeah.
We noticed the eraser for the first time, Keith. At least I noticed him for the first time. You got the binocs out.
I got the binocs out. I saw firsthand he erased Steph Diggs. They were doing some. They would have two defenders, two receivers. Drake May was thrown to the right, probably around the 5-10 yard line, and then Josh Dobbs was working on guys thrown to the left. So they'd run just like, you know, two-man patterns. And nice job by the eraser on Steph Diggs.
How did you make the play?
Thank you. How did you describe it when he made the play in real time?
He didn't just erase him.
Yeah, no, didn't just erase him. I thought he said he gobbled him up.
He gobbled him up. Yeah, he gobbled him up.
So how about that? The eraser one-on-one with Steph. First time I've noticed him.
Defense looked good, although Jalen Polk did come up with a play. And I also like he's going like Kerry Kittle's one sock up, so he's easy to identify.
Is that a sock or a sleeve?
Well, it's all the way up and down, so maybe it's both. Maybe it's a sock that goes into a sleeve that just never ends.
Doing the Kerry Kittle.
He is. He's going Kerry Kittle.
You know what? He did see you snatch that one over
If he's going Kerry Kittle, it might help him.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
Javon Baker, earlier in this same drill, they're just kind of skying for some catches here over the coaches who have like a pad to knock the ball out.
Yeah.
Javon Baker fell flat on his face at one point in time, so that wasn't great.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I mean, look, I'm not falling for the Jalen Polk stuff, but I will say he's making a play here and there. I still don't expect him to be on the team, but he's making a play here and there.
Yeah, sure.
You can discuss 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. I wasn't overly encouraged listening to Corey yesterday, Keefe. I don't know if you were on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Lots of ways to listen to WEEI. Sean McAdam, I didn't feel great about this, also said the Red Sox have readjusted their sights a little bit to the point where they just need to get a back-of-the-rotation guy, whether that be Charlie Morton.
Oh, we're back on Charlie Morton.
We're back on Charlie Morton. I like his next name. I like his next name more, though, Keith.
Get out of here.
Or Merrill Kelly.
Yes. Oh, see, that's better.
Like that on a rental, to me, those guys are not the same. Merrill Kelly, to me, is probably still not enough at the trade deadline. I'm not going to worship at the altar of Breslow like I have been. But that's a real ad. Charlie Morton is. It might as well be James Paxton for me.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. Maybe as more durable than James Paxton. But yeah, you had the same takeaway. Whereas Merrill Kelly, you're like, all right, that's no doubt better than Fitz. Probably better than Bueller the way he's going. And then who knows with, you know, I guess the other guys. But yeah, I would take Merrill Kelly. I wouldn't lump those two in together. I don't know if he really the season he's having. He's probably not a back end of the rotation guy, but. Just lowering the bar. Like, why are we lowering the bar so much?
When's the last time Merrill Kelly had an ERA over 4, Keith? Any guesses?
22?
It was last year. But other than that, he went
that
in reverse
like, mousetrapping. How dare you mousetrap me?
Other than that,
yeah.
322 this year, 403 last year, so barely over 4.
Okay.
329, 337, 444, 259. Now, that's going back to his rookie year. I mean,
he's solid.
So, like,
What's his K per nine?
To me, that's a real ad. Like, that is not, it's not, I want more than that. Like, that's not, I'm not happy with that.
No, I know.
But that's at least a real
even
ad.
Just this
what was
season.
Your question? What's his K per
yeah,
nine?
Yeah, well, just even this season, K's per innings kind of thing.
Where the hell
you
is
have that?
ESPN, you son.
You got this gotcha
oh, here
stats
you go.
With the ERA, but
eight,
you don't have a strikeout?
8.5. He's 8.2 for his career.
Okay.
Not bad.
No, it's not.
When's the last time he was below 8? Also last year. So that's Merrill
Kelly.
Already
had a down year last year. That's fine.
If that's what we're talking
would
about.
Would you rather have Merrill Kelly, and I know not to spoil the whole would you rather segment, but would you rather have Merrill Kelly or Dylan Cease?
Oh, Cease.
Yeah, Cease.
No, Cease to me, that's a real top end of the rotation type of ad.
All right, rank these four. Dylan Cease, Mitch Keller, Merrill Kelly, Charlie Morton.
Oh, Morton's at the bottom.
Yep.
Cease is at the top. I think I'd rather have Kelly than Keller, but those two are close.
Yeah, probably is. Although Mitch Keller, I would probably go Cease as well and kind of hope that you get what he was last year. He obviously hasn't been as good this year, but yeah, I'd probably go. I might go Merrill Kelly over Keller, to be honest. I know Keller is probably the most likely to be traded out of that group.
Nick, real quick, This is not necessarily the greatest guy in the world to report, but what was Ralph reporting in the last break? I just went to his timeline. I don't see it.
Did he delete it?
It was from yesterday.
It was from yesterday,
but he basically said the Red Sox are one of 5 or 6 teams that are frantically calling the Twins about Joe Ryan nonstop.
Here's the thing. You don't even have to call the Twins. Just bang outside their door and be like, we're here. We want to make a trade.
Just stand out there with a boombox.
Cut the phone line.
Nobody else can make calls going in or out.
Yeah, I know.
And you just now you just can't leave.
Yeah, now you gotta make a trade.
Now you got to negotiate with Breslow. Although, is Breslow there?
Probably not.
No, I mean, honestly, that's probably why they're
probably
calling.
Not.
If you were on the road with your team, you could actually be there hammering out deals in person.
Yeah, probably not.
But he's probably not even there now that we actually talked this out.
Can you cue our guy, Evan Drellick, Nick?
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Yeah, it's a day game. It's It's a day game today, so the lineup is out. Red Sox going for the it's the rubber match between the Minnesota Twins. They've already changed the lineup. The original lineup had Alex Bregman in it. He has been removed.
Not for the better. Not for the better to change this lineup.
Bregman was in. Bregman is now out. So your lineup for this afternoon in the series finale from Minnesota, final game before the trade deadline, Roman Anthony in left field leading off, followed by the Bull, Abraham Toro at third base.
Nice.
In center field, fresh off a 446-foot home run, Jaren Duran.
Yeah, you still want to trade him, huh?
Batting fourth, the now red-hot after being ice-cold Trevor Story. In right field, another trade candidate, Willier Abreu. At first base, they must be facing a righty or a lefty. Maybe they're not.
No.
Romy Gonzalez. No. What's
they're
he doing in there?
They're basically a lefty. He'd be hitting much higher in the order.
What's he doing in there?
Yeah.
Batting seventh. Your designated hitter, your slap hitter, Masataka Yoshida. Batting eighth at second base, Seidon Rafaela. And batting second leadoff and behind the plate, the man with one extra base hit on the season. And Jones and I were there
We were there.
Connor Wong.
Keith, I'm not even joking. I think he's locked in now.
We were at the Connor Wong game. He was hitting the ball right on the screws.
He had some loud outs.
Yeah, loud outs.
Big time loud outs.
And he got a double. We were at the extra base hit game for Connor Wong.
I now kind of think he's locked in.
I think he is.
I heard all the rumors about a backup catcher, and he's like, not on my watch.
I can't believe they took him out of the game on Saturday. I'm like, he's not in the lineup? Was he not hitting the ball on the button every time?
On the absolute screws.
So he's in there today. So, yeah, not the
best. So Rafaela's back at second?
Rafaela's at second. Yeah, because they got Duran, Anthony Abreu.
Right.
I
heard Romy was in the lineup and Toro, but right. Toro replaced Bregman.
Romy's at first.
So Romy's at first. So there you go. I mean, Rafaela made another absurd play in center field last night.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, he made a really good play over the weekend at second, but he is much, much better in center field, but again, a novel concept. A guy willing to move around, bounce around.
Bayo on the mound. Do you know who the pitcher is for the Twins? Random baseball player of the day.
Not Chris Paddock. They just traded him. It's not Joe Ryan.
He is a righty. Haas of the week candidate.
Oh, really?
At 6'5", 225.
Wow.
Well, it's 6'5", 225.
225?
6'5".
He's tall.
Yeah,
he's
tall, drink of water.
My answer is I don't know. Who is it?
His name is Zebby Matthews.
Zebby Matthews.
His name is Zebby Matthews.
Zebby down.
What is that short for?
I don't know. Great question.
I'll tell you.
Zebediah. Is that a name?
Daniel Zebulon Matthews.
Zebulon?
Zebulon. Zebulon.
That sounds like something you get at the pork store, Billy. Hey, I need a pound of Zebulon is what I need.
His friends call him Zebby. I would probably go by anything else. He could be Dan. His actual name is Daniel.
Yeah, you could just go by his first name.
You could be Danny if you really like the Y. You could just, or Dan's fine.
Hey, I need a pound of Zebulon over there.
Call me Zebby.
Okay.
DZ Matthews.
Or DZ Matthews.
That's badass.
Go DZ at Discovery Zone. That is pretty good.
That's true. He has an ERA around 5.
Red Sox going to need this one today.
Big game.
I didn't realize they were facing Zebby Matthews today. So big game for the Red Sox. Not loving the lineup.
Chapman throws. And a swing and a miss. He got him nasty. 101 miles an hour. I guess Chapman is feeling okay. So too are the Red Sox. They win tonight in Minneapolis, 8-5. Big time homers from Story and Duran. Defense from Seidon. And the Red Sox have a chance to win this series in Minnesota tomorrow. 8-5, the final.
Not to nitpick a win, Keith.
Oh boy, here we go.
I didn't love they had to go to Chapman last night.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, on the one hand, we hadn't seen him, and you're like, all right, is he all right? And then you see him, and he looks
1,000% fine once he got in there, yeah.
I think he's okay. Just threw three heaters, like, see you later, game's over. But, like, you're right. Like, did you really need to see that? No. But that goes back to maybe the bullpen's more of a need than we were kind of letting on. Like, Chapman and Whitlock, also good to see Whitlock after all his issues from the plane and everything else. So Whitlock was good. But your guy, Alcala, my guy,
I don't think Hicks,
they stink.
They're not our guys anymore.
No, you got to get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't it. You got to find some other guys just so it's not Whitlock, Chapman every single time the game is even close and, like, you can't rely on anybody else other than those guys. So, yeah, they could maybe use another guy in the back end.
It's Jones and Keefe. We are live today. Day 7, Patriots training camp. A lighter day compared to in full pads the last couple of days. Shorts and shells out here for the Pats. We are at Gillette, and we're presented by McFarland Energy, the heat and cooling and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Short program today, pregame for the Red Sox and Twins. Rubber game today, final game before the trade deadline, which comes your way tomorrow evening. Pregame starts at 12:10. We'll still get you some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30, so about 25 minutes from now. On a Would You Rather Wednesday, we see Drake May and the first team offense going on air right now. Or I guess May just sat down, actually. This is Dobbs running the second team offense. We'll get you some team stuff coming up whenever they get to it. But again, a lighter day out here. I'd say the big takeaway on the Patriots front, and we said this earlier, I'm reading now from Andrew Callahan, who agrees. Patriots seem eager to start Jarrod Wilson at left guard. No Bradbury today. Wilson, who had been the backup center, is at left guard with the starting offense. Right now, they're lined up with Will Campbell at left guard.
Left tackle.
I'm sorry, left tackle. They are lined up with Jarrod Wilson at left guard. They have Onwenu right guard, Morgan Moses right tackle, and Ben Brown feels like a placeholder at center.
Yeah, I would agree.
In the middle with no Bradbury today. But I think the early favorites for your line would be that with Bradbury replacing Brown. Like, I think that's what they're leaning towards doing at least early on in camp.
I mean, that seems like a positive for me. And if you have between, you know, probably Bradbury, but Bradbury, Strange, Brown, like, you know, best man win. And if they feel like Wilson's the guy to be the left guard, I mean, that's pretty encouraging. And if you start the season with a rookie left tackle, rookie left guard, and they're both pretty good, and just sort of the idea that those two guys play together for years to come, I like that. And then Morgan Moses, yesterday at this time, we were a little bit more uncertain with him because we didn't really see him a whole lot, and then it felt like when he was out there, he wasn't doing great in some of the drills. But Tom Curran popped up after practice yesterday and was like, you know, veteran guy, and it does seem like Vrabel has a plan for a lot of these veteran guys. They're certainly not going to take every rep, but I think it's not really a big concern. It's going to be like, all right, he needs to be healthy, but you can say that on every single guy.
Right, and the question, you know, what level can he play at? But yeah. I don't think there's any question he's their starting right tackle over DeMontre Jacobs.
Yeah, it's not a competition by any means, and he's not going to lose the job. It's like, all right, in the season, does he get hurt like he did last year? Maybe, but as far as week one, I think you can pencil him in.
Other items, just to reset, Mike Vrabel talked earlier today. He said we won't see Gonzalez for the rest of the week. But the word is he's day-to-day. Curran told us yesterday he hopes to see him by joint practices against the Commanders, which would be a week from today. That would be Wednesday. I'd say if he's out there, that's a great sign. I also was encouraged listening to Vrabel today talking about Carlton Davis. It really genuinely sounds more like management than anything else. He lumped him in with Morgan Moses, and he lumped him in with Harold Landry, who's getting a down day today. So if he's putting him with that group, that sounds like a guy they're more managing than anything. Still worth monitoring. But that's certainly what it sounds like.
Well, not only that, it was an unrelated question, but I think you can link the two together. He was asked specifically about Marcus Jones, and obviously it was last year with like the coaching staff not knowing he played both ways. But the question was sort of like, you know, playing both ways kind of thing, and like where is he going to be? And he was like, we need him to be a great punt returner. We need him to help the offense by picking up a couple extra first downs and all that kind of thing, like specifically as a punt returner, which I also leapt to. If they were really that worried about Gonzalez and or Davis,
good point.
Wouldn't he be more?
Great point.
Maybe more emphasis at corner. But if they're like those guys are fine and will be fine, then like we can focus more on what Marcus Jones does best, which is return punts.
We need him to be an elite punt returner. He said, which great. I didn't even connect those dots, but you're right. If they were worried about him, forget on offense.
If they knew something was really up with Davis, they'd be like, all right, we need to maybe push this guy forward a little bit more on defense.
Great point. We'll circle back to this, but Vrabel also talked about Drake May. We saw some run plays yesterday from Drake May, like designed quarterback run plays and plays where the quarterback was on the move. So Vrabel discussed that. He said that's something that they're going to have this year out of this team. Quarterbacks need to know how to protect themselves, but that's something they're going to need. And furthermore, for attendance, we have Joe Mazzulla here today.
Sure is.
Head coach of the Boston Celtics, along with his son, who I guess is a high school football player, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Is what Vrabel said. He's at Zavarian.
Mazzulla's probably going to ask if he can return punts and get hit for real. He's like, you want to go live?
Light me up.
No, Joe, it's fine.
Light me up. Robert Kraft is here as well. So there's your attendance check for the Patriots. Day 7 of training camp. Jones and Keefe here, presented by McFarland Energy. My question, Keefe, with one game remaining, day game, they should win it against, what is it, Daniel Matthews?
Ozebi. His friends call him Zebby. His actual birth name is Daniel.
Daniel Matthews.
Goes by Zebby.
On the bump for the Twins today, trade deadline tomorrow. Have the Red Sox done enough to prove they're worth investing in?
100% they have. I mean, it was the 10-game heater going into the break, but it's also the state of the American League. It's not a very great league. It's not loaded. The Red Sox, with all their ups and downs and all the issues that they've had throughout the year, are the second wild card, and they're a game behind the Yankees. Think about how far the Yankees were out in front at one point. The Red Sox are one game back of the Yankees for being the top wild card team. The Yankees are without Aaron Judge. They've been playing, you know, 500 baseball recently. The Red Sox, unfortunately, also have been playing 500 baseball, so they haven't been able to gain too much ground post-deadline, but they're one of the playoff teams a day before the trade deadline. No matter what happens, I think they're going to be a playoff team on the day of the deadline, and I think...
Yeah, they will be. They're a game and a half up on Texas, so no matter what, tomorrow they'll be in a playoff spot on deadline day.
That answers it for me right there. And then on top of that, I feel like we'll see what Tampa Bay and Cleveland end up doing, but there's a good chance everybody sells with the exception of four potential wildcard teams. Meaning,
well, I think Cleveland with the Class A stuff is like they're definitely selling.
So, right. And they're whatever, three and a half out.
Tampa's a good question. What does Tampa do?
And they're exactly 500. They're three games out, but they do have a team above them. But I still think it really looks like there's going to be three wildcard spots for four teams. The three other teams besides the Red Sox are the Yankees, Mariners, and Rangers. The Rangers are the hottest out of that group, although they've lost two in a row. Seattle's already made a move. The Yankees have already made a move, but the Yankees don't have Judge. The Mariners lineup still isn't great. You and I both agree. Texas might be, even though they have the worst record right now, might be the best team out of the four.
Well, and they're just scary is what I would say. If I had to wager on a team kind of with the pedigree of winning a World Series and some big-game players on the roster.
Oh, yeah, and then you go like DeGrom, Evaldi to start a series. Like,
exactly.
Oh, that's tough.
Seager, we've seen just mash in the playoffs before. Like, yeah, that to me is maybe the scariest of those.
And regardless, I mean, so yeah, you're competing with them, but the Red Sox should absolutely be a playoff team. And so, yeah, you need to buy on this team, and there's every reason in the world to buy, too. You got rid of a bunch of salary, if that's what you were concerned about. And I know you, me, and most of the fans aren't concerned about that, but John Henry was. They got rid of that with Devers' contract. And you have so many good prospects, and a lot of them aren't even prospects anymore because they're currently playing for your major league team. So you have a whole pool of players that you could deal from to add to this team. And so I think there'll be enough good players available at the deadline, too. I don't think it's one of these things where it's like, wow, there's only one guy. And if you don't get him, like, you're in trouble. Like, I think there's going to be enough movement. There's already been some trades going back to last week that if they don't do anything, it'll be, like, cause for quite a bit of concern and, like, upheaval and, like, freaking out about the Red Sox if they don't do anything.
So let me frame it this way. I don't know that we've done this in a while. If the Red Sox made a truly big trade, define that how you will. Joe Ryan, Yandy Diaz, if the Rays were going to sell – Dylan Cease, I mean, you know it when you see it, but define that however you will. If they made a big trade, forget just making the playoffs. Like, the Blue Jays are in reach.
World Series.
You know?
Well, you said this before. I mean, World Series
They should be thinking that way. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, we can squeak into the playoffs by not making a move. They should look at Toronto and go, they've lost four in a row. They just lost a doubleheader to the Orioles yesterday. And Toronto is tied with Detroit for the best record in the American League.
Oh, Detroit, I mean, they just have won three in a row. But prior to that,
they lost like 10 out of 11 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I do think Detroit's a good baseball team. Like, I'd say it's less likely the Red Sox get Detroit. I feel like the Blue Jays have been playing over their heads for months.
Yeah.
And run differential isn't everything, but the Red Sox have a way better run differential than the Blue Jays. They play poorly head-to-head with Toronto.
Yeah.
But you still have more games against them. You're right, and Detroit. You still have more games against Toronto. Maybe you can right that ship and catch them head. Like, I think with a big trade, first place is in play.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're five, they're five games back of the best record.
Which right now would be the top of the American League.
Yeah.
And so that's how they should be thinking. It shouldn't be, what do we need to do to sneak into the playoffs? Can we add Charlie Morton to sneak into the playoffs? It should be, what can we add to really make a run? And that is in their grasp.
Yep.
But my guy Breslow, you got to do something between now and tomorrow's deadline.
You got to do something. And this is also, they're five games out of first place in the American League, and that's with Alex Bregman missing 45 games or whatever it was. That's with Roman Anthony starting the first couple of months in Worcester. That's with, like, them not, I think, realizing how to use Garrett Whitlock, right? There's a lot of two-inning appearances. Now they know exactly what they can get, one inning out of Whitlock, and it's shut down. So the team, even before they make a move, is in a better spot than they were for the majority of their games. But you add a player or two to this team, I mean, I think that could vault them way up there. And I mean, I'm always a make the playoffs, you have a chance at the World Series anyway. But if you're talking about how much of a buyer you should be, it's right there. I mean, you have one of the – even though they're frustrating at times, as far as, like, there are stretches where they don't score a lot of runs, if you just look at it through 100 games or whatever they are, they're one of the highest-scoring teams in baseball, right? Yeah, like, they're way up there.
If I'm not mistaken, they are fifth in baseball. That's where they've been. They're second in the American League in runs scored.
But they're second in the American League, and, like, we still say they should add a bat.
They're fourth in baseball.
Okay.
And they are second in the American League, 20 runs behind the Yankees. And get ready for the Red Sox to keep closing that gap with Judge out.
Oh, 100%.
So the Yankees are third in baseball, first in the American League. The Red Sox are fourth in baseball, second in the American League, runs scored.
And, you know, fourth best run differential in the American League, which we've heard Breslow sort of reference in the past as sort of like an indicator, right, on where they're at.
It's predictive. It's just, that's how I would describe it. It's not the end-all, be-all, but if you have a good run differential and a poor record, that should level out going forward, and same thing vice versa.
Like theirs is better than Toronto's.
Yeah,
right?
I'd say it's a bad sign for Toronto. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, if you're just looking at it like that, if you're the Red Sox and all their nerds, and they're saying, all right, us versus Toronto, roster versus roster for the rest of the way, who's going to be better? And if you say it's the Red Sox, what are the chances they could be five games better? I think decent. Yeah. Especially if you add, I mean, certainly if you add a Joe Ryan, but even if you add a Keller or a Cease, you're like, all right, that's something. And maybe a bat. Maybe a reliever, whatever. Like, there's no reason why it only has to be one.
Yeah, I mean, and I lump myself in with being guilty of this, too. Like, it's not just the Red Sox who are, just get into the playoffs. Because to me, that would constitute a successful year.
Yeah.
That would constitute...
Especially where they've been.
Well, and it would just... It would emphasize that you made the right move on trading Devers. If you make the playoffs after you traded Devers, not a lot of people thought you were going to do that. I think you and I did. Breslow believed that. People mocked Breslow for saying we're going to have more wins than we would have otherwise. But
see how San Francisco did last night?
I know they score a run. They lost to Pittsburgh again, right?
Yeah, they lost again.
And Devers, I think, went over, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So yes, to answer your question, I did.
I had to think about four, two strikeouts.
I thought you were
loss.
Asking if I saw the Javon Baker catch, and I was like, ooh, I kind of caught the tail end of it. No, I think I'm somewhat guilty of this too by sitting here and going, just get into the playoffs. I think that would constitute a successful year, but it's not the end all be all. Toronto is, to me, gettable with a big move. I was just double checking. They only have three games remaining against Toronto, which is less than I thought. They have a series in Toronto.
Yeah, they've already played them 10 times.
They actually end with Toronto and Detroit, last two series of the year.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that could be for home field. That could be, who knows? I mean, depending on what they do. Because that's the other part of it. As we sit and wait as to what the Red Sox do, what do the Tigers do? What do the Astros do? What do the Yankees do? What do the Blue Jays do?
This is it. It's like, if you go out and get those guys, not only are you improving, you're keeping those players away from those teams.
Yeah.
You're not sitting on your hands saying, ooh, Charlie Morton will probably make us better while those guys make actual real deal. Like, imagine if...
Oh, that's a good point. It's another way of looking at it. If the Yankees acquire Charlie Morton, we'll go, okay, fine.
Right.
If they get Dylan Cease, we'll go, crap. Right. If one of those teams gets Joe Ryan, you'll go, son of a...
If somebody in the AL playoff race gets Yandy Diaz, I'm going to be like, what the hell?
Yep.
So, look, the one thing I would say about Breslow, some names have moved. How many names have moved where you're like, crap, that's a name that I would have wanted on the Red Sox?
So
Naylor?
I was going to say Josh Naylor, when it's all said and done, like if they don't get anything better than that, maybe I would look at it. But like in the here and now, not really.
I mean, unless I'm missing some names, I don't think there's anybody really significant.
Yankees just made a move.
What?
Austin Slater.
Ooh.
From the White Sox.
He sits on the toilet backwards is what he does.
Pretty cool.
You
got to take your whole pants off, though. That's what Davey Eyeballs told me. He's done it before.
If you do it, you can't keep the pants.
Like,
Porky
Pig it. He's like, there's no way to do it. There's no way to do it with like your pants getting around your ankles.
There's going to be some way to do it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're like a contortionist. I think if you're just doing it like regular styles.
Right, no way for you or me to do it.
I would not be able to.
I'm sure a flexible human being could do it.
I'd sprain something. But yeah. So moves are happening.
Okay.
Big moves.
So look, that's not to let Breslow off the hook, but it's just a way of illustrating – I don't think a lot of big names have moved at this point. Maybe I'm missing them. I mean, the biggest name to move is Devers.
Listen, I'm not freaking out yet. We even have tomorrow, now that we know the deadline's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
even tomorrow,
to
at the end of the day, it'll be frustrating if at 2 o'clock tomorrow there is no move. But Friday, we have all the right in the world to freak out starting at 10 o'clock Friday if they do nothing or they add this year's Danny Jansen.
And again, if Josh Naylor's the biggest bat to move, I don't think they needed a left-handed bat. But if that's the best bat to move, the Red Sox should have been in. I'm hoping something better moves, quite frankly, and something that's a better fit, because I think they need a righty stick, not another lefty. 617-779-7937. Patriots have started 11-on-11s after wrapping up some 7-on-7s. So we have some team periods going on here. Drake May with a little completion there as they're moving down the field, looking like this is going live, actually. They're moving the ball as they work their way down the field. So we'll keep our eyes on this. And we'll get you some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, are brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Jones and Keefe here today. Day 7, Pats training camp. Drake May just hit Austin Hooper up the seam. Haven't seen a ton of Hooper these last couple of days. He just got back out on the field a couple of days ago, but they're going through some 11-on-11s, full team stuff in shorts and shells today. Ooh, May under pressure on that one.
Yikes.
That was right on his doorstep.
I mean, he got the ball out. That's another one where it's like, how do you really judge that?
Well, that's one that, look, I'm not great at keeping all these stats in real time, but that's an official, that's a sack right there. That is a would-be sack for sure.
Yeah. Or maybe an unbelievable play where he eludes the tackler, gets out of there. Picks up a first down on his feet.
Maybe.
Probably not. Probably gets crushed.
But I would I would say the big takeaway today, Jared Wilson, even without Garrett Bradbury, and we've said it a couple of different times, is repping as your top left guard. Cole Strange mixing in at center today, Wilson remaining at guard.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's where the Patriots are really looking at their third-round rookie. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up. We'll give you all our full takeaways from Day 7, Patriots training camp coming up. But what do we have for Would You Rathers today, Billy?
All right, first up, would you rather the Sox trade for a starting pitcher or a bat and a reliever?
So I think I would answer that.
By the way, that was a nice throw down the sideline and a catch. The crowd popped. Kyle Williams.
Oh, that was Williams.
Kyle Williams making a nice play.
I was actually going to
Drake May. Yeah,
I was actually going to bring this up. So Williams had a bit of a down day yesterday. I was going to bring this up. I think Bourne is getting more first team reps than we've seen.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That was fun to watch because they were in shotgun and Henderson was lined up to his right. Drake May's right, and then you had Williams on the outside on the right. So like both rookies out there. Also Pop Douglas. The rep before that, you had Steph Diggs and Kayshon Booty in there. So all those guys getting some first-team reps. But after a couple of days where he was either quiet or dropping passes, that was one of the better plays of the day.
I was going to say, even earlier today, if Bourne's getting first-team reps and already Booty's kind of standing out over Kyle Williams, he's going to need to make some plays. So
that is a good
sign, especially from Drake May.
Yep.
Dobbs now out there running the team in 11-on-11s. So the question was, Keith, a starting pitcher or a bat and a reliever? I think I might just want the bat over a starting pitcher if I'm getting a bat and a reliever.
Really?
That's
yeah.
my answer. Now, who's the bat? If I'm thinking best case scenario, I can get Yandy Diaz and a reliever. I think that's what I want.
So if it's Joe Ryan, I'll answer it this way. If it's Joe Ryan versus
Yandy
a bat
Diaz.
Reliever, Yandy Diaz, I'll take Joe Ryan.
Okay.
If it's really any of the other names.
You know what? That's fair.
Okay.
Anything short of Joe Ryan, though?
Yeah. I think I'll take the other two, and the whole thought process too is they should be a playoff team. You add whatever you add here is going to help them get into the playoff. Once you're in the playoffs, you could shorten your rotation anyway. So maybe it's not like I definitely want a starter. They've had a lot of issues with it when they haven't had, they've had to rely on Richard Fitz or whatever it might be. But we're seeing it on a nightly basis now. Like one more big bat can really lengthen the lineup. And also a reliever wouldn't hurt. Alcara and Hicks aren't guys you can rely on at all.
No, I feel pretty good about Chapman at the back end. Whitlock, since they've locked in Whitlock for an inning at a time,
he's
been absolute lights out. When they were asking him to go 5-6 outs, it was catching up to him. They've locked him in for 3 outs at a time. He's been great. Chapman's been awesome all year. Good to see him. Not that we needed to see him in that game last night, but good to see him look like himself. I mostly feel pretty good about Weissert and Wilson as more early guys.
Yeah. My guy Murph. Friday night, Chris Murphy out Shohei Ohtani.
Have we said this on the air? How much Ken hates him?
Ken hates Chris Murphy.
Ken's like, this guy's the worst. And now all this, ever since Ken said, I never even paid attention to him. He's getting everybody.
Yeah.
He was great in the game the other night. They went away from him too early.
All right, what do you think about this news? This just into the news desk. Chris,
yeah.
Chris Cotillo says, Garrett Crochet is not hurt.
Okay.
But.
Oh, boy.
Is being pushed back to Monday as the Red Sox give him more scheduled rest.
You know how I take that, Keith? It's a sign they're making a trade.
Okay.
That's a sign there's a starter and they're penciling him in.
Good, because against Houston, it's going to be TBA Bueller Giolito.
Wait, what day is TBA? Give me that again.
The Houston series that's coming up. So they're off tomorrow.
Yep.
And then they have Friday.
So Friday's
Crochet's being pushed to Monday. So who do they play Monday?
No. That's not my question. What day is the Red Sox TBA? That's Friday or Saturday?
Well, it's written in order here, TBA, Bueller, Giolito, so I assume TBA would be Friday.
Okay, Joe Ryan's scheduled to go Saturday. I was hoping that would line up. TBA with Joe Ryan.
Short rest
Joe
Ryan.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But Crochet getting pushed back. I'm gonna spin that positively and say that's a sign they're making a move.
I love it.
They already have him penciled in.
I love it.
Get Crochet an extra day.
Okay.
But we answered it the same. We both want a bat and a reliever
unless it's a starter. Unless it's Joe Ryan.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, what else, Billy?
Okay, would you rather Will Campbell or Steph Diggs have a Pro Bowl season?
I would say Diggs out of those two. The better long-term health of the franchise is probably Campbell. He's just going to be here longer. Diggs might be one and done no matter how productive he is. But for this year, what's better for Drake May? What's better for the team? Diggs.
Yeah. So this one I went back and forth on. I'll answer it Steph Diggs. And I guess here's why. Let's just forget about replacements and stuff. Let's say if he's one of the four best AFC wide receivers, that means they scored a lot of points, and that means Drake May was really good. Will Campbell, being one of the three or four best left tackles, is great, and that's awesome long-term. It is better long-term. But you got to remember, Devin McCourty was a Pro Bowl cornerback.
Yep.
And you thought he was going to be a corner for 10 years. His third year in the league, he got moved to safety, and he ended up being a great safety. But I look at it almost similar, where a corner is way more valuable, just like a left tackle is way more valuable than a left guard.
Yep.
But there's still like no guarantee long term on that. So I'll say for the offense, a team that has had a drought, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019. If Steph Diggs makes the Pro Bowl in a conference that has, you know, Jamar Chase and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all these guys, then, yeah, that'd be pretty something. So that means the offense, I think, would be even better.
So, yeah, I mean, again, Campbell has time to make Pro Bowls.
Yep.
Like, to me, what's best for the team this year? Diggs.
Yep.
I have no shot at seeing if these kicks are going through, by the way. Can you see those any better with the binocs?
Do they have a ref down there putting his hands in the air? That'd be helpful.
Well, there's somebody under the uprights, but they're not signaling anything. It's pretty worthless.
Just catching them?
Yeah. Also, who's that in the bucket hat out there? Is that our guy Springer? It's got to be.
Probably.
He was right next to the kicker. That's got to be the Spring Dog with a very fashionable bucket hat.
Smart. Keep the sun on your face.
They're going through some kicks right now, alternating Romo and Andy Borogales.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Every time.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. What else?
I like how John Parker Romo dropped the John off.
Yeah, it was a good move.
That's up and true.
That was good. That looked pretty good.
I think that's up and true.
Right off the Optum side. Shout out Gerard Mayo. All right, what else do we have there, Bill?
Would you rather be Happy Gilmore or Bobby Boucher?
Now, this is their career. I would rather be Bobby Boucher, I think. They burn hot.
So, yeah.
Never. Did he ever go pro? Do we know that?
Bobby Boucher?
Yeah.
It ended with him going to college. Remember, because his dad showed up at the end and said, go pro, and he's like, no, I'm going to college, staying, getting his degree.
Interesting.
He could have gone pro.
He wasn't necessarily the smartest guy, but he had a lot of Sports Center highlights.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather be good at football than good at golf.
Me too.
But Happy Gilmore won.
Although, Happy Gilmore, that's a lifetime sport, Keith. That's for your whole life.
And not to spoil this for you, Jones. Okay, I know you haven't seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet.
I didn't say that. I thought about watching it again last night, but I did not watch it.
But
right,
let's paint this out. Yeah. So Happy Gilmore, we did see what happened with Happy Gilmore 30 years later. We know that in the 90s, he ended up winning, 90s, early 2000s, he won 6 tour championships.
Wow.
It's a lot of gold jackets.
That's not nothing.
He then lost all of his money.
Oh, boy.
So there is that. He also has 5 kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher.
With how many women?
Just one.
One.
Nice.
Who he killed?
Oh,
allegedly
no.
One.
He killed her.
What?
Not on porpoise, but he did.
No.
Sadly.
Spoiler alert.
It's early in the film, but he murdered her with a ball. He hit her with a long drive. She died. So.
Oh, boy.
Bobby Boucher is my answer. I'm going to go Boucher. Bobby Boucher. Yeah.
Okay.
He had like 16 sacks in a game. at SCLSU.
I mean, I think that's the answer, too. Although, again, yeah, how's that going to – I mean, he played – he led with his head.
At halftime. They won the Bourbon Bowl.
He led with his head, Keith. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to
go. No, it's scramby eggs up there
long
for sure.
Long term, but yeah.
Happy Gilmore also had a lot of, like, during his junior hockey career.
That's a good point.
If
you're a brawler,
yeah.
That doesn't age well either. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, we agree. I think we've agreed on everything so far. Let's see if we can get some disagreement here.
All right, would you rather a slushy or a frap?
Frap, no contest. Slushy.
Well, if it's a slush puppy. Now, this is very important. If it's a slush puppy.
Well, it says slushy.
Well, I know, but there's different kinds of slushies. Okay. There's, like, slushies you can get, like, at any kind of gas station, and they're just sitting in there, and it's just, like, sugar or blue sugar. But if it's the slush puppy with a little dog on the cover, great mascot, he's holding the little slushie himself, he's enjoying one, and you can get, like, a watermelon slushie, and you can distribute the amount of sugar water you want in there, it might be a slushie. I love a frap. I love a milkshake.
It still only might be?
If it's
the best slushy possible, puppy, it might be.
Slush puppy is the answer. Uh-huh. If it's a slush puppy, I do love a milkshake. However, milkshakes are tough. If you get 10 milkshakes at 10 different places, what are the chances the consistency is the right consistency you want? Two out of 10?
I mean, it's fairly low.
You think it's that high, Nick? Because I feel like it's either drinking it like milk,
but
or you need a spoon.
But I don't care.
I feel like a bad milkshake is better than a slushie.
Exactly.
A bad milkshake isn't a bad milkshake. It's a glass of milk. A slushie is still a slushie.
Over a slushie.
I don't want to eat a slushie. I want nothing to do with that.
I think you're thinking about only the best case scenario of a frap.
There's
a lot of bad fraps out there.
You're thinking only the best case scenario of a slushie.
Yeah, exactly. You're
slush puppy.
Yeah, well, that's what. Right. You're taking the best case scenario.
Yeah, I don't want like the random like, oh, we have blue and red, and there's no dog on it.
What if it's just best on best? Best frap, which, by the way, what's the difference of frap and a milkshake? What is the difference?
One's
is there a difference? Is there a difference? But best on best. Best milkshake or best your high-end slush puppy, which I don't even appreciate that much.
Probably isn't. Best on best, it would be the milkshake.
Best on best.
It'd be the frap. Okay. A nice coffee frap.
Well, I answered this very directly, frap. Yeah. I'm still confused at your answer. Your answer is?
If it's a slush puppy, I want the watermelon slush puppy.
Unless it's best on best, in which case
best
you want
best, I go back over
So
here.
I still haven't heard an answer. Bill, how would you
Well, what
that?
Is it? Is frap. It best on best?
I don't know.
Frap. Frap.
Yeah, see, you hear how Bill answered?
I can say either one right now. I'm starting to sweat bullets here under the questioning here.
And I think frap
plus,
is a milkshake with more ice
lamp on me. Do you think this is helpful?
Oh.
Nobody knows this. We're sitting out here in the 95-degree weather, plus there's two heat lamps on for Twitch.
That would burn a python, is what that would do. Never mind the two of us. I'm sorry, Bill, you were saying?
I got to go inside.
No, I just said I think the only difference between a frap and a milkshake is I think a frap has more ice cream in it.
All right. Then I want that.
Yeah. I like that. Like a coffee frap. Like a nice coffee frap. That sounds great. Okay. Well, there you go. Would you rather every Wednesday?
Hot, these rhinos.
Jones and Keith.
Man, it just really kicked up a notch.
It's kicked up a little bit.
I don't know if it was the slushy frap debate that got me, but I am sweating.
I famously said earlier today, I'm like, it's not as hot today as it is yesterday. It's closing the gap. I'll tell you that right now. It is closing the gap.
I'm having a problem.
617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. We'll give you our thoughts, takeaways.
Lord.
Day 7 of Patriots training camp coming up next.
Spoke yesterday about how Josh McDaniels wants the quarterback room to stress the defense with their athleticism, with their legs. We saw a couple quarterback run plays, or at least option to run. What is?
Are you reporting on plays from practice?
Well, no. I'm asking you.
No, you said you saw the type
of
play.
I did, but
he was talking about it.
I know he was. I know he was.
Does Drake have to prove to you that he can handle some of that stuff, just in terms of like being smart about his body and putting himself at risk?
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to run over every player on defense, or nor should we try. You know, it's critical that those plays are available to us, and we do a good job of picking and choosing the appropriate time. And then when they do have the football in their hands, they have to, one, be able to secure it and be able to protect themselves and use the rules to their advantage. You know, being able to give themselves up is something that's critical. And I get that a lot of these young players, they feel like they're fearless, and that's great, but you know, we just have to make sure that we're making great decisions.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier today. Jones and Keith live, Patriots training camp, day 7. Wrapping things up here momentarily. They're wrapping up, I would say, some 11-on-11s. We have Drake May going through it now. Pat's in shorts and shells today. We haven't seen as much of the quarterback running, but Vrabel was, number one, showing off his personality a little bit there, going at Giardi. What, are you reporting on plays?
Yeah, pretty
from training camp. Is
pretty
that what you're doing, Mike?
He's like, what? No.
But he did also say that's something they're going to have to do this year. He did not shoot down the idea that Drake May is going to be a running quarterback, which you and I are both very much in favor of.
Absolutely. I think that's the best version of Drake May, and really, let's face it, the best version of this offense. Look at the personnel.
I would say just about any offense in the modern NFL. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, Burrow wouldn't be that.
Yeah, but Burrow also
moves well, but he's not a guy you're designing runs for.
No, but like you also have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Like you should prioritize passing to those guys, getting them the ball and letting them run with it. The Patriots, we hope, have that in Steph Diggs. But even still, like you need more, you need another dynamic to the offense. So yeah, to me, it's a no-brainer that he should run, and that does seem like it will be. Now I don't know how much you do it in practice settings like this, right? But maybe next week will be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. Not to wish away today, Jones, but next week at this time, we're gonna be watching Jaden Daniels and Drake May.
Oh yeah,
you know, going head to head in some of these drills. So it should be a lot of fun.
He basically said he wants the, and you heard it there, he wants the quarterbacks to protect themselves, use the rules to their advantage, give themselves up. That's critical. But he did say those plays are critical that they're available to us.
Yeah.
For Drake May. And
definitely.
So I would consider that largely a good thing. We haven't seen as much of that today. We have seen some, I don't want to call them trick plays, but we have seen some other wrinkles out here today involving some other players outside of the quarterback. So we're seeing more and more wrinkles as we go along here. Out of the Josh McDaniels offense. The other relatively big update from Vrabel today was that we're not going to see Gonzalez this week, Christian Gonzalez, but we should see Carlton Davis, it sounded like, soon-ish. He lumped him in with a group in Morgan Moses, who's out there today.
Mm-hmm.
He lumped him in with Harold Landry, who's out today on a planned absence.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a personal thing or just a down day for him, but he lumped him in with that group, which I would say is largely promising.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the guys – it's funny because he was asked specifically the first day of camp about Steph Diggs, and you remember we were talking about it, how, you know, he's got no limitations, but he's not going to do everything. And then he added, you know, nobody's going to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in that question and answer, it was about a veteran player, specifically about Diggs, but clearly you can apply that to – all the guys they signed, essentially. Like, he's given them a little bit of a break. He knows what he has in those guys. First of all, their roster spot isn't up for grabs. And even really their playing time or their starting role isn't. So it's also an opportunity. You have 91 guys out on the field. Like, you do want to see some of the other ones and make sure you're making the right calls in a couple of weeks as far as, like, who makes the team and who doesn't.
We're not quite done with practice yet, but it seems like you're going to get a lot of Jared Wilson in the top five somewhere on your O-line. Oh, that was... I don't want to call it a big hit, but that's the first real contact we've seen.
Yeah, that was almost more accidental. The I don't know, was that Henderson? Who's the running back?
No. That, I think that's Lan Larrison. You heard anything about him, Keith?
Lan Larrison?
Yeah, 34 Lan Larrison out of UC Davis. You haven't heard anything about this guy? Good mustache. Good tickler on this guy.
Sounds made up.
But I think that's
all
who the
respect to Lan Larrison.
I think that's
family.
Who the back was. That was Gibby Jack Gibbons. On the inadvertent hit out there.
Well, that's what it was. It's like they just kind of like more ran into each other than it was actually hit.
But it's, I mean, we just haven't seen much contact, period.
No. And they're not even wearing padded pants today.
There's not going to be dropping anybody out there, but a little bit of that. I was just starting to say, I think Jared Wilson's clearly going to be one of the five on their O-line. Now, how good is he? It sounds like Kalavon Chasen having another monster day. Will Campbell, not so much
Dobbs is
today.
So bad.
Dobbs throw
that
throw.
I would like to see Woolridge get a little sniff. It's not any of that.
He hasn't gotten any of that. 7-7 and 11-11 today. You're right. We haven't seen any Woolridge.
So
apologies, Dice.
Yeah, I know. That's not a competition
but
at all.
But he just missed. Chisholm looked like he had a step there. He just missed him. Put it out of bounds.
This is one of those teams now. This is a camp that has a clear number one quarterback, a clear number two, a clear number three.
I think that's fair.
That's what it looks like. Even though, I mean, you can count on one hand maybe the number of good plays Dobbs has made in seven practices.
I would say that's a fair characterization. Clear-cut pecking order here.
Yeah.
I do still miss Joe Milton on that front. They are wrapping things up here, not even cooling down, going through any it doesn't look like...
You got to cool down today.
Like closing workout, no running or anything that they've been doing at the end of these practices. So nothing like that. Looks like we can put a bow on day seven here. As good as the O-line looked yesterday, bad first day for Will Campbell. Or at least a mixed bag. Maybe bad is too strong.
Yeah, I think it was more mixed bag.
Strong
right?
bounce back yesterday. Really good day for Jared Wilson, who repped almost exclusively at left guard today, even without Garrett Bradbury, which I think gives you some insight into how they're looking at it. We've been painting a picture of that all day. Sounded like a bad day for Will Campbell, not just in one-on-ones, but also when you got to 11-on-11. Our guy, the Lions Den, John Lyons, Will Campbell. having trouble with inside speed and spin moves from Kalyvon Chasen. Yeah. Something he'll need to work on. That name is popping off.
Is Chasen the greatest player ever, or is he just exploiting a bad offensive line? Or maybe it's a combination of the two. Maybe he is, you know, due for a breakout, or maybe he is going to have a good season. But, yeah, his name has flashed more than anybody else's, really, on defense as far as guys causing problems for the quarterbacks or breaking up plays or whatever. So, yeah, whether it's Morgan Moses or Will Campbell, those guys have had a hard time keeping their hands on them.
We'll give you full takeaways on what's going on at day 7. I did jump the gun there. I thought they were breaking down and leaving the field. They're breaking down into special teams.
Yeah, it's time for teams.
So we'll get some special teams, maybe a cool down. We'll give you the full recap. And don't forget, short Jones and Keefe program today. Red Sox pregame starts at 12:10. Joe Weil will get you game ready for the rubber game. Red Sox and Twins final game before the trade deadline. We'll wrap up our thoughts live from Patriots training camp. Brought to you by McFarland Energy, coming up next. High noon, Jones and Keefe live, day 7, Patriots training camp at Gillette Stadium. We've been brought to you throughout training camp, thank you, by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Red Sox pregame comes your way less than 10 minutes from now, 12:10. Joe Weil will get you game ready, leading you up to the Red Sox and Twins. First pitch, a little after 1 o'clock here on your flagship station for the Red Sox, WEEI. Team huddling up here again as they're still wrapping things up on day 7, going a little longer than we expected here today, Keith. It's a walkthrough tomorrow. They're going to go in the stadium on Friday night for season ticket holders.
Nice.
Which should be another walkthrough environment. So lighter practices. The pads come off today. And Will Campbell has a more pedestrian day than he had yesterday. How much should we read into that?
Luckily, they play the games in pads. Maybe he's better in pads. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be kind of the ride of a rookie offensive lineman where there's going to be good days, bad days. And even 2 days ago, the first day in full pads was a little bit of both. You know, depending on what drills you were watching, he had a couple times where, you know, Keon White got the best of him. And then there were times where he kind of figured it out. And then the next day, it felt like he got the better of Keon White. And now today, I think it is a little bit different, you know, especially for the defensive and offensive line when you're not in full pads. But even still, like, you're grading it on what you're grading it on, right? This is what they're doing.
Yep.
And he wasn't great. So, all right, these are all kind of like learning moments, building block moments. Next week, it'll ramp up even more when you're facing another team and then when you play in the game a week from Friday. So all that stuff going forward, I look at it like it has been a mixed bag, which is exactly that, right? It's not, oh, it's been a disaster for 3 days. It's also not, oh, my God, he's destroying everybody, well, yeah. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
No. Disaster would definitely be too strong. Sure, yeah.
It's not that. So it is sort of a, all right, let's see what this guy's going to have. I don't know how many people expected him just to show up and dominate the NFL right off the rip. Like, there were questions about him.
How about block Kalyvon Chasen? I did kind of expect that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one I kind of expected.
But also, nobody's blocked Kalyvon Chasen, right, as it turns out.
Right, but what is that? Most of the league has in his career.
Yeah.
What does that mean for your O line?
It means that this guy's figured it out. No, it means the offensive line, which going into the year we thought was the worst position group on the roster, is that. You know, they were kind of neck and neck with wide receiver going in. And Steph Diggs has had a couple of good days, a couple of quiet days, but Steph Diggs has at least given you, here's a high-end guy in that position group. And then there's been flashes from some of the others. Kayshon Booty's been pretty consistent. Kyle Williams has been here or there, had another really nice play today, Kyle Williams did, which he needed.
You did a great job highlighting that in real time. Like, that's kind of the buzziest play, I think, from training camp today. I think it was DJ James, whose name has popped a little bit.
Yeah.
Even asked about him earlier today. I think that was DJ James that he beat on that play. So that's a guy who's been playing well, is the only reason, I mean, to say it. It wasn't, I mean, it sounds like a guy who has a shot at making the roster.
Right.
That was a good throw by May.
It was.
Hitting Kyle Williams. That was probably the most noteworthy play
I think it's
out there today.
Work in progress, though, when it comes to Will Campbell. You know, it was such a need that I feel like, despite what they might say about it, like, they're like, oh, we took the best player. It's like, well, I feel like you did draft for need, right? You sort of backed yourself into a corner. You didn't really address it. You certainly didn't address the left side in free agency.
Nope.
You did add Morgan Moses, who also hasn't looked great either in camp. And so that's two different ends of the spectrum. You have one, what is Moses, is like a 10-year veteran? And then you have one guy that's
maybe even longer than that. He's 36 or whatever he is.
Maybe a 12-year veteran. And then you have one guy that's been here less than 10 minutes, and they both have had issues with Kalyvon Chasen, Keon White, and some of the defensive guys for the Pats.
Morgan Moses. I'm looking it up.
He's been in the game a long time.
He was a third-round pick in 2014. So what is this, year 11
yep.
for Morgan Moses?
Yeah, maybe.
Quick math.
11 or 12.
Not great at that. But anyway, just kind of recapping Will Campbell's day. Campbell today started off in the one-on-ones. Good and bad, Keith. He did beat Keon White, who he struggled with before.
Yeah, he's starting to figure him out, maybe.
He also lost a rep to Braden Swinson, who is a rookie fourth-round pick?
Yeah, that was his teammate, right?
Correct.
They played at LSU.
They played at LSU together. So maybe that's a guy who knows his moves.
Yeah, he's got him.
Knows his tricks.
Yep, knows
how to get in his bag a little bit. Kalavon Chasen beat up Will Campbell in 11-on-11 early. He had at least two sacks and another pressure. That's according to Mark Daniels. There's a lot of this. Giardi, Kalavon Chasen won three times in five reps. Would have sacked Drake May or hit him on all of those. Andrew Callahan, Chasen tallied two sacks and a pressure in a four-play stretch. He's been the undisputed breakout star of camp. He did say bad news. Both those sacks came at Will Campbell's expense. Callahan also has good numbers on Drake May that are now, it looks like, final. I think they're done with their 11-on-11s and everything else. May, 10 for 13, took three sacks, two completions, 10-plus yards. The play of the day is the one we just detailed. May throwing Kyle Williams open in the end zone, beating DJ James. Diggs had a team-high three catches from May in 11-on-11s. Is Diggs? I feel like Diggs was more noticeable the first couple
early.
Of days, Keith.
Yep, I have not noticed
Diggs as much.
Yep.
Early on, May looking for him as much. So I don't know what that means. Maybe he's just, you know, still working his way back through his injury. Maybe they're mixing in other guys. Like, I don't necessarily know what it means, but I would say Diggs is more noticeable the first couple of days here in camp. Callahan says, tough day for Will Campbell again.
You know who Will Campbell's talking to right now?
Who is he talking to right now? Don't tell me it's Ted.
Robert Kraft.
Ooh, Kraft. Okay.
Yeah, Robert Kraft's also talking to Wilson. Mike Vrabel stopped by to say something to him quick. Robert Kraft walked over. And this is why you have the binocs, because otherwise I would have been like, I have no idea. There's humans walking around out there. But yeah, Will Campbell talked to Robert Kraft for a moment. Now Kraft has moved on to a different group of players. It looks like he's walking on the practice field. But I choose to spin the Steph Diggs thing positive. Just the way Mike Vrabel has sort of utilized all of his veteran guys, I think Steph Diggs the first couple of days proved that he's healthy, proved that he could pick it up.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And now the rest of that position group is really up for debate. I mean, Pop Douglas probably is your number two. But I think there's a real competition as far as, like, who makes the roster. There's a competition on who's going to be on the field. So not that, like, hey, all set here, Steph Diggs, you don't need to make any more plays. But it's like, I think we know what you have in him. Just like you don't see Carlton Davis every day. You don't see Morgan Moses every day. You didn't see Harold Landry at all today. So I think it's almost like a check mark. Like, all right, we're good with Steph Diggs. Let the other guys kind of battle it out.
No, I think that's fair. I haven't noticed him as much, but his overall health being out, I mean, he hasn't missed any reps. He hasn't been managed like you just said, like Moses, like Landry, like they're doing maybe even with a guy like Carlton Davis, some of the other vets on this roster as well. So that'll do it for us live. Day 7, Patriots training camp, brought to you by McFarland Energy. You can stay tuned. You got the Red Sox and the Twins. Joe Weil going to get you game ready for the rubber game. Big one going into the trade deadline for the Red Sox right here on your home for the Red Sox, WEEI.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.